My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour of week one Hoffman Show Radio is right now. That was the weirdest way I've ever introduced a segment, Anthony. Man, I have Friday brain, and I'll just I don't know. We're gonna land this plane. You wanna know why, Anthony? You know why we're gonna land this plane?
Tell me why.
One, because they pay us to, and we don't really have a choice. Someone's gotta do this hour radio, and I don't see anyone else coming around. And two, because it's a finished Friday, damn it. Because that is the spirit of the new Washington Commanders ecosystem, of which we are a part of. We are not a part of the team. We're independent journalists. We're part of the ecosystem. And Dan Quinn said it's a finish Friday. So we're going to finish strong.
I like the way you think, man.
If I'm getting credit for thinking right now, then I'm probably getting too much credit. All right, 6:30. We don't have to think anymore. We got a Take Command preview for you. Logan breaking down one of the key elements of this game, how Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury will handle the Todd Bowles pressure package. So we'll get to that at 6:30. But right now, it is time for our first regular season edition in 2024 of the Pick Six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick Six at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, so the Friday edition of the Pick Six goes like this. We pick six players, three apiece, that we are most looking forward to watching this weekend. Who will be the biggest storyline come Monday? That's who we try to pick on Friday, with one ginormous caveat. The quarterback is not allowed. It's too easy. Can't talk about it unless there is some kind of extraordinary circumstance. So Jaden Daniels is off the board. However, I'm sure he will come up because we're going to talk about other players. But Anthony, I'm giving you the first pick. Gus, who is number one in week one's pick six?
Number one, I'm going to go with someone on the offensive line. And more specifically, I'm going to go with center Tyler Biadasz.
That is a great pick. Great pick.
The reason I'm going with Tyler is because of the blitz package that you were just talking about. You know, Logan's going to get into a little later at 6:30. But I think Tyler, he's going to be very important just because he's going to be able to help Jaden out. He's going to be able to communicate with this line that hasn't had a lot of reps together. And, you know, he's a veteran. So I feel as though, you know, he's seen a lot. He's played against Todd Bowles and things of that nature. So he kind of has, I'm not going to say an idea like what's going to happen, but he's going to be able to communicate with everyone about who to pick up, who's coming, and things of that nature. So especially when it comes to sliding protection.
Yeah, what he's got that Jaden Daniels doesn't is a file. Tyler Biadasz has played or started nearly 100 games at center in the NFL. He has seen a lot of different fronts. He's seen a lot of different coverages. Doesn't have to do a lot with those coverages. Doesn't really see them. I guess the coverages doesn't really matter. But he's seen them. And more importantly, he's seen all the different lines. He's seen the ways that teams stunt. He's seen blitzes. He's seen all these kinds of things that it's not just sliding the line. It's like, okay, who's the Mike? Or who we want to identify as the guy that we're going to pick up as an offensive line in this particular scenario, because, you know, when they mic someone, typically that's who they're anticipating, hey, the offensive line is responsible for this. But if he sees Antoine Winfield coming down in the box and he's like, I know this blitz, he might mic Antoine Winfield and be like, I personally am going to take care of Antoine Winfield. However they communicate that, but the concept, right? So however they handle it, it is going to be a mix of Jaden Daniels and what they prep during the week, and a mix of Tyler Biadasz's, obviously what he's prepped during the week, but his experience. And so I love that pick. You know, if you can't pick Daniels, because we take him off the board, saying, hey, who's the guy who's next most responsible for protection is a good one. And so I'm just going to go ahead and wipe out the offensive line. Or who? All, maybe you pick a third offensive line, but I'm going to wipe out offensive line here with number two.
Number two.
And I'm going to say Brandon Cornelius Lucas Coleman.
I'm crying. The tackle.
Because that's who's going to play left tackle, right? Realistically, I want to see Brandon Coleman. I want to see what he looks like. We haven't got a chance to see him all summer because the second he got elevated to that top line and was really starting to come on, he got hurt, and they've kept him out away from our eyes, or slash out because he couldn't participate, and then away from our eyes when they closed practice and got into regular season mode. And he's been practicing, allegedly, as a full participant this week. That's how he's been listed on the injury report. But Nikki told us earlier in the show that for the open portions, the very little that they have seen, it has been Cornelius Lucas. And then today, Dan Quinn was asked straight up, is there a chance that both these guys play? And Quinn said, not only is there a chance, that's the plan. So unless DQ's just Friday fibbing, which wouldn't be the first time a head coach does that, because he can always after the game be like, well, that was the plan, and then so-and-so was playing well, so we stuck with it, right? He can always, you know, pull off of that pretty easily and not say that he was lying the whole time. Or maybe that's the intention, and something happens where either Lucas starts and plays well, or Coleman starts and he's actually fine. And one of those guys winds up playing the whole game. But there's going to be a rotation at left tackle. I'm curious how that works in a lot of different ways. How different does the offense look from a play-calling standpoint? It's something Cliff's got to be aware of who's in at what time, and then you kind of roll from there. So Brandon Coleman's the guy I want to know. I want to know how healthy he is, and we'll see that in part by how much he plays. I want to see what he looks like when he's out there, and I want to see how different this offense is when he is out there, and you truly feel like you have the range on the offensive line to go sideline to sideline, where with Lucas, you don't quite have that mobility at the left tackle spot.
I love it, man. Want to go with number three?
Number three,
I'm going with a mix of Benjamin St. Juice and Emmanuel Forbes, simply because they will be tasked with defending Mike Evans.
So if you were to put this into one player, it would be, I'm not going to do the Benjamin St. Emmanuel Forbes juice bit, but I will say whoever is covering Mike Evans.
Yeah, I mean, because again, like they might not, you know, switch sides. So he might be on the right side one play, and he might go to the left side one play. So I think it's going to be both of those guys. But in five games against the Commanders or the Washington franchise, do you know how dominant this guy has been, Craig? He has averaged 121 yards, 26 catches for 605 yards. It's ridiculous, the numbers that he's put up against Washington. So if we want to have a chance at winning these games, we definitely have to limit this guy because he's had monstrous days against us.
Yeah. I was thinking about going with Diami Brown next, and I still haven't made up my mind on that. So don't hit the button yet. But what I will say is that those five games that Mike Evans has had, he has accumulated more yards than Diami Brown
his entire career.
Diami Brown, I believe, has 476, something like that, career yards. Mike Evans in five games against Washington has 652, you said?
605 yards.
605.
On just 20,
my bad.
26 catches.
That is ridiculous. Yeah, it is. That is the thing that scares the bejesus out of me for this weekend is, look, we all know that Washington has questions at the cornerback spot. We all know that is going to be something that we monitor the entire year. And if by the end of the year, these guys have proven that they ain't it, then that is going to be a huge priority for them in the draft. But I'm not going to write St. Juice or Forbes off by how they play week one. I'm not going to say if they get cooked that it's over. If they are you know, not competing, that's a different story. But if they're there and they get some plays made on them by Mike Evans, add it to a long list of players that are good and bad that have had plays made on them by Mike Evans. Sometimes you just got to tip your hat to the other guy who's real, real good. The other thing that I'll say about Mike Evans in previewing this game is if Baker has a chance to throw to Mike Evans, he going to try to throw to Mike Evans. And what you see a lot last year, I mentioned this earlier in the week, I took the time, thanks to NFL Pro, I can sort this stuff out now, where I sorted every single 20-plus yard in the air pass attempt that Baker Mayfield had. There was like 70 of them on the year, and I watched every single one of them. And there were, as I got later in the reel and started to pick up on some things, I was just like, that looks like cover two. And there's a bench route to Mike Evans. And so like this tiny window on the sideline, like 18 yards up the sideline, they will just run, or they did last year. And I assume that this is something that'll stay in the offense on some level, because it's a classic cover. Like this route exists in multiple cover two beaters. They used to call it a bench route here when like Jay was here. But you just like kind of run inside a little bit, run up. So you get the corner to kind of bite in and give you a little bit more space, run vertically. And then as you get to about 18 yards, you hard cut out. Or sometimes you take it up on an angle out, and Baker, like, that is a hard throw.
Yeah.
And Baker loves to throw that ball to Mike Evans. So generate big explosive plays. And then if the safety misses a tackle or is late or, you know, whatever, then obviously that's an even bigger problem. But he also had really big plays last year off a double move. So you got to be careful of those. So it takes a lot of discipline to just kind of trust and like make Baker make those throws. Because just because he throws it doesn't mean he's going to complete it. It's a hard throw. But you have to know that it's coming. You have to squeeze it. You have to play with a little anticipation. But you also have to play with a lot of discipline against Mike Evans. He's not the most sudden guy, but there is something about the way he moves that he is able to hit double moves on guys, get him to bite, and then get free over the top. So also, obviously, you got to track him through play action stuff, so the safeties are going to have a tough day. But, you know, they know all this. Doing it is the hard part. So we'll see what they do on Sunday.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Number four.
All right, I will go with Deami Brown, in part because I now feel guilty that I already said it out loud. But obviously, who is going to be the non-Terry McLaurin option? And really, the answer actually is Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz is going to be wider, or the second most utilized offensive weapon, I think, in the passing game for Washington this year. I think some of the questions that folks have about Jaden Daniels' ability to attack the middle of the field, because he just didn't do it a lot in LSU, because why would you when you had what he had outside, are going to be answered when he just continuously dices defenses to Zach Ertz, and Ertz is having 8 catches for, you know, 76 yards every single week. I think it's possible. Probably not that level of consistency. That would be crazy, but he's going to look for Ertz over the middle, and he's going to be a big part. But you need someone else on the outside. You need to make, like, you're going to get one-on-one somewhere, right? So if you have, you know, backers and a safety kind of bracketing Ertz, if you're going to have a safety shaded to Terry McLaurin's side, which I absolutely would, if I'm like, Terry McLaurin can beat me or someone else can beat me, I'm making someone else beat me. And in an offense that Kliff runs, where it's designed to try to get some one-on-one looks to the outside, who is the guy that's going to take advantage of those? Obviously, Noah Brown, I think as the season goes, is going to have a big role. But here in week one, has he had enough time to adapt? Or is it Deami Brown's position to lose? And if it is, can he show the consistency that he did in the preseason where he had big plays down the field, caught some comebacks, showed some toughness? Because if Deami Brown, pass catcher, shows up this year, that's great for the Commanders, because Deami Brown, run blocker, is a badass. Deami Brown, run blocker, will just knock some skulls. And so to have his physicality out on the field and have him on the field and not have it be a tell pass versus run slash if it is a pass, we're not really worried about him, changes the dynamic of this offense. I know that feels like a lot to say about Deami Brown, but I'm telling you, that's the potential upside of a good Deami Brown season in this offense. And so let's see what it looks like. I'm very curious to see the wide receiver rotation. Obviously, they cut Pringle earlier today as someone who I thought could get some reps in that role. So if you missed that, breaking news, about 2 hours ago, they released Byron Pringle. No other roster move yet to see who's taking his spot. But yeah, Deami Brown, number four for me.
I love that pick. I think the time is now, man. Everybody's expecting this guy to take that next step. And why not, you know, do it?
And dude, if he does, like, he's a third round pick. Like, exactly. Sometimes it takes a couple years. That's why these guys, like, yes, he's not 6'4 and like built, you know, in the way that a first round guy is necessarily. But sometimes it's because later you go in the draft, it's not for lack of physical talent. It's because it takes a little bit longer. That guy's a little bit farther away, played in an offense in college that doesn't necessarily translate as well. And maybe this is the year that it comes together for Deami Brown. He's again, I don't think he's going to develop into an all pro, but can develop into a legitimate starting NFL receiver.
Number five, I was torn, but I think I'm going to go with Frankie Louvu here.
It's great.
And part of the reason I say Frankie, just because he's going to have to show up not only in the run game, but also in the passing game. Rashad White, the running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that guy, he can do it all. He can catch out the backfield, and he can also, you know, take one to the crib if he's handed the ball off. So I think Frankie Louvu, in terms of just, you know, limiting the explosive plays from a Rashad White kind of player, because he's going to be tasked with defending that guy. And I want to say he was number seven last year in, like, all-purpose yards. So, again, like, this guy can do it out of the backfield. And we wouldn't want to have, you know, B-Wags, you know, chasing him. So I think that's going to be Frankie Louvu's job to, you know, show up there. But also, you know, when we blitz him as well. So I'm expecting a big impact game from Frankie.
Yeah, if you didn't pick Louvu, I felt like I kind of had to, because he's got such a varied role. And I am very curious to the deployment, too, because if you were like, okay, it's third down, who do you want to man up? And you want to run, like, some cover zero stuff. Who do you want man-to-man on the running back? Louvu is probably one of our better options. Okay, well, bad news, he's a defensive end now. Like, third down, he's going to be on the edge, and he's going to be trying to get after the passer. And that is hugely important. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to take pressure off, we talked about, you know, your number three collectively.
Yeah.
Guy who guards Mike Evans.
Yeah.
You want to make that guy's job easier? Make him cover for 2.5 seconds and have Baker facing pressure in his face versus clean looks after 3.5 seconds in a clean pocket. Yeah. Like, that is the difference in making plays in the NFL, like making life easy for coverage guys in the NFL. Versus making life terrible, versus if you get like real quick pressure, letting them jump routes and creating some turnovers. And obviously you can, you know, tip balls and strip sacks and all those kinds of things if you get the real pass rush wins as well. And so Louvu is probably their best pass rusher. So his ability to, you know, pass rush seems like it's a pretty important deal. But what is crazy is that is actually only part of his job. Like, to be that important to the pass rush and then have all these other responsibilities tells you a lot about what they think of Frankie Louvu and how good of a player he can be. I think some of the other guys to kind of watch out for in that range, obviously Bobby's going to be critically important. I think Chin coming down in the box. I wonder if a guy like Dominique Hampton gets some snaps as well. Like, is he in kind of a dime linebacker role that gives them some versatility? Quan, like, this is kind of the thing about Joe Witt's, I got 17, 18 starters. He wasn't kidding. And that makes it really hard to figure out week to week. Like, we're going to see what they do this week, and it's probably not going to be the same in week two. You know, how you handle that Giants offense and the type of pressure you're willing to throw at them is different than maybe the pressure you're willing to throw at Baker. Because the other thing, too, that we haven't even talked about yet is, like, Tampa's O-line is really good. Tristan Wirfs is a beast at left tackle. Graham Barton, they spent a first-round pick on at center. You know, Cody Mauch had a pretty solid rookie year, but like needed to get a little bigger and adjust some things. And the reports out of their camp is like he did that. He came back to camp, you know, added the weight that he needed to being a D2 guy. So like their offensive line's really good. And that allows them to do some things. One of the things that you saw with Canales last year is like very rarely were they keeping backs and tight ends in. Like they got five out in the pattern. So you have to be able to cover or you have to be able to get home. And so Luvu plays an enormous responsibility in both. And so watching how that plays out on Sunday is going to be interesting. And I also don't think it's going to teach us a whole lot about what this Commanders defense is going to be for moving forward. It's going to take us 4 or 5 weeks to really understand what Joe Witt wants to do, because it might take 4 or 5 weeks for Joe Witt to figure out what Joe Witt wants to do.
Number six.
Last but not least, I'm going to go back on offense. I thought about going Dorrance Armstrong, but I kind of just made the point that I would have made on Dorrance Armstrong. So I'm going to go with Austin Ekeler. You know, kind of bringing it full circle, right? How do you help out Jaden Daniels in protection? How do you avoid some of the blitz pressures and packages that Todd Bowles is going to throw at Jaden Daniels? One, your running backs need to be super sound in the assignment, because that's often who blows protection, right? Is either the running back doesn't pick up the right guy, he's late, or he just gets his butt kicked. And by the way, shout out to Justice Hill in the Ravens-Chiefs game last night. On the last two snaps of the game, of which Lamar could have thrown a touchdown very easily on either one, he solo blocked Chris Jones. That's not the protection call I would have made, but shout out to Justice Hill for doing it. Austin Eckler's been a very good pass protector in this league for a long time, and he's also excellent in the screen game, which is another way that you can dispel pressure. If you can get pass rush upfield, that's less guys you got to block. They basically have taken care of themselves, and you get out in space, and Eckler's going to be a huge guy in that regard. You know, B-Rob obviously is going to be the main guy. If you can just run the ball down their throat, that would also be great. Eckler can be an effective runner, but I think Eckler as kind of that passing back, if you will, a guy who's going to be on the receiving end of swing passes, checkdowns, making guys miss, advance the chains, keep them in good down and distance, be solid in pass pro. I'll take Austin Ekeler as our last guy in the pick six for our week one edition. So that's how it goes. We pick six players, and then on Monday, we'll see how it all went. So 6 o'clock, same time, same place on Monday here on your radio. We will reveal or review how everybody did. When we get back, more preview, more depth. Logan Paulson joins the show as we discuss how Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, Austin Ekeler, all of them, Tyler Biadasz, how they take care of that Todd Bowles blitz package, what you anticipate in week one. More preview, Take Command style, next on The Hoffman Show.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.